Come on, let's praise that name. The matchless name of Jesus. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. He is worthy of the praise. Lord, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you would stand with me for the reading of the word, turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. I want to give honor to our pastor who's not here tonight, as was mentioned. Honor to Brother Roy. You know, they say he kind of hurt his knee. I think he was just wanting to better understand those who had medical needs, who came to touch twice. He wanted to empathize better with them, and so he just, I think he purposely did it. But I honor him for having faith in me to ask me to pitch in for him tonight. Amen. Thank you to all those who are influencing my life over the years. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, those who took me in when I was just a little college student. And I mean little. It was all their Easter dinners and the Browns and Thomas's and Thanksgiving dinners. And, well, not a little college student anymore. Praise God. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, don't recommend that to anybody, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. Tonight we're going to talk about, briefly, a quick subject, seasons. Seasons. Put your Bibles down. Let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Lord. We thank you, God, that, Lord, you can speak to us directly, Lord. We don't have to go through a priest anymore, Lord, like in the Old Testament. We don't have to wait for that one day, Lord, but we can come directly to you, boldly before the throne, God. I pray you speak to my heart. Speak to every one of us tonight, God, that you would just minister through your word, Lord Jesus, God, to every need, every situation, every circumstance. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. You may be seated. I woke up one morning my junior year of high school. I had been in Minnesota for 6 months, finishing high school while my parents traveled as missionaries around the states. I lived in the basement in kind of a side room of some family friends. As I pulled back the covers that morning, I knew something was different. Several feet away from the outside window that was in the room, I could feel the cold from outside on that January morning. I got ready for school as normal and headed upstairs where I was greeted with the news that school had been canceled that day. You see, it was not the snow. It was negative 20 outside with wind chills upwards of negative 50. They didn't want kids riding the bus that day, which I was one. That day, I knew what cold was. It was definitely winter. Yesterday and this morning, I opened up the garage door to leave and felt that rush of very cool air. Folks, it's definitely fall in Wisconsin. I don't know, Roy was here 5:30-ish on yesterday morning. It was cold. Four. Even better. Serving some coffee and donuts to the folks waiting in line. It's fall. One thing I appreciate about Wisconsin in the 13 years I've been here is that there is a clear distinction between seasons. Every year around this time, leaves start to change. You can't go out in a t-shirt anymore. Hot chocolate actually tastes really good. Summer, it doesn't. But man, that right around this time, whoa. It's not like Florida where it's warm all the time. I went there, I think it was my freshman or sophomore year at UW-Madison, and went down to visit my grandparents live in Sarasota, and man, I was so excited, got off the plane, and this blast of 45-degree weather. Oh, man, I peeled off my winter coat, and the whole week I was there, I was in a t-shirt. The problem was, all the people down there were wearing their jackets, and were like, this is freezing. It's 45. So, it's always warm in Florida. Well, if you catch it right. But seasons come and seasons go. Just as it is cool now, I will guarantee you that give it enough time and it's going to get colder. We're going to be wearing heavy winter jackets and we'll all be complaining about how cold it is and freezing. And why don't they turn the heat up in the church? Man, it's cold. You'll see all the ladies with their husbands' jackets around. We'll all be freezing. But I'll tell you, you don't have to worry because hang out long enough. It's going to get warmer. Spring is going to come. And then next summer, we'll all be complaining how hot it is and how we hate mosquitoes and wish it would get cold so they all freeze. Seasons come and seasons go. And the same in, just like in the natural the world, that we in the spiritual world, we all go through seasons in life. Our scripture text in King Solomon tells us this in Ecclesiastes, outlining that we all go through periods of life. We all go through seasons. Maybe it's a season of learning. Young people, you are in a season of learning. If you're not learning, shame on you. Do your homework. You may be in a season of a trial that's going on in your life. Maybe it's a physical ailment that you're dealing with. Maybe it's a season where you're leading others. A season where there is plentiful. You are blessed and God is pouring out his blessings. But maybe there's a season of drought in your life where I lost my job, don't know what I'm going to do. It's a season. In a season, there are seasons in ministry. Fiona and I have learned this over the last 7 years of leading the youth, that there is a season of tilling the soil. You don't see anybody come in. Why? Because the soil that's there is hard and stony, and you got to dig it out and, you know, face some things and get them broken up. But then there's a season of planting, a season of watering, and then there's a season of reaping. We see this not just in youth ministry, but all over this church. In individuals' lives, there's the season of tilling up the soil of their life. You may be hard here tonight, but let me tell you, God's beginning to stir it up in your life. I believe that. We all go through seasons of life. Maybe there's a season in your job of, again, job loss, or maybe it's a season of promotion. Those in college, you are in a season of life. It stinks. Amen. Can I get an amen from here? Come on now, college students. I know where it's. Parents, you may be in a season where your kids are in the house and haven't left home. They're under 18, and maybe you are a parent and you're in the season of everyone's gone, an empty nest. But we all have seasons. We all go through seasons in life. But the thing that the world seems to do with the seasons is that they like to jump ahead. I saw Halloween candy available in the beginning of September. Has anyone seen Christmas stuff yet? I haven't been to Walmart or Target in a while. Come on now. We've already seen. It's October 2nd. 3rd. That too. You're jumping ahead of me. But they put Christmas decor up in October. T-shirts and summer wear are the main item in February. God forbid that you break your jacket in February. I've looked for warm clothing in that time, and it's like, why is all this spring stuff here? I'm freezing. They jump ahead in the retail world. The world system wants you to rush the season. Rush the season in your life and give you a discontent that I can't wait for the next season. Young people under 16, can't wait till it be 16. It's overrated, just so you know. It's overrated. But when you're 14, 15, it's not. What are you talking about? It's like, come on now, 16, hurry up. You can't be patient. But the natural world and the spiritual world don't work like that. No matter what you want, you're not going to have an effective corn maze in May. We're going to a corn maze in a few weeks, young people. But be thankful I did not schedule it in May. Because it would have been about this high and everyone would have been like, oh, this is fun. You don't plant corn in January when there's 3 feet of snow. In the natural world, it tells us that. And oftentimes, we want to rush through our season of life. Especially if it's a dry season. Or if it's a season of testing or trials. We just want to, get me out of here, God. I want to get past this. Give me that job, God. Give me that healing, God, because I can't take it. I just want to get past this. We want to get it done and over with. And the enemy, again, will attempt to get you discontent with the season of life that you're in. In ministry, those who are in ministry, Galatians speaks to this. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Man, I've been working so hard in the Sunday school, but in Kids Rages, but we haven't seen a kid get the Holy Ghost lately. Well, the Bible speaks to that. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. We can't get frustrated in ministry, those who are in ministry, of we're not seeing the results that we have a vision, we have a dream for. Because it might not be that season yet. You might be still doing some planting, some watering. God's timing is not our timing. And that's the hard thing, because we want to rush ahead, but God is saying, whoa, 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 I got a plan in this season of your life. God has a perfect plan and a perfect timing for things. Can I get an amen? You look at the story of Esther. Esther was a young lady who was among the people of Israel that were taken away in captivity. And her and her family were there in, I don't think it's Babylon, but anyways, over there. And Persia. And the Persian king got mad at the queen and just kind of like, I need a new wife. And so he called all the young virgins of the territory. And she was one of them. And in the meantime, Haman, one of the king's advisors, king's big guys, he had a thing against the Jews. He had a problem with them. And so all this is happening at the same time, and Esther is probably wondering, why am I going to the king's palace? I'm a nobody. I'm just down here. But in this whole thing, Haman is scheming to eliminate the Jews off the face of the earth. And what happens, the story goes that Mordecai, who was Esther's uncle, that he said, no, just be there. This is God's will. And she ends up getting the favor of the king, becomes his wife. And what happens? She saves the entire nation of Israel, the Jews that were there. And Esther 4:14 says, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. For thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? There's a timing in place. May not understand why your life is going the way it is right now. But maybe God is just setting things up. We had some testimonies recently, and I don't remember who it was now. I'm just having a brain fart. But people were saying that how God just... Scratch that from there. Mom, I'm sorry. I haven't told her yet about these. Else she'll like listen to all of them and online and then call me and comment on them. And Mom, I love you if you're listening. Oh my, where was I? But it was talking about how, I think it was a testimonies from the last week, Brother Thomas, there's some testimonies up here how God just arranged everything. They didn't see it coming. Didn't see God coming, but he came and it was on time. Amen. In ministry also, there is timing. Sometimes we get frustrated because someone is not responding to our witness. We've tried to talk to them and tried to invite them, and it's just frustrating. Well, the Bible says, Proverbs 15:23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? How good is it? It may not be the timing that you want. You want to see your friend saved right away, young people. But maybe it's just that right time that God prompts you to give that word of encouragement, that good word. Amen. And so what do we do with our season? We want to rush ahead, but we know God's timing is maybe not our timing. I believe that we need to be stewards of our seasons. You see, seasons won't last forever. They will change. It will be winter sometime soon. It will be spring, next spring. So you're in a season of life, whether it be good season or a tough season of life, you know seasons won't last forever. So again, we need to be stewardships of our seasons. In Matthew 25, it tells a story of a king or a lord who came and said, hey, my servants, the three servants, they were given talents and said, while I'm away, be good stewards of these talents. And so immediately the talent guy and the two talent guy went out and doubled the amounts while the king was gone, lord was gone. But the one talent guy immediately went into a shell. You try to analyze what he was thinking. Was he thinking that, man, this is a horrible season of life. I only got one talent. These other guys got more than me. You know, I only have that one. And so if I mess this up, if I invest it poorly, or if I make the wrong decisions, I'm going to lose the one thing I had. And then the king's going to come back and get mad at me. So you know what? Just to be safe, I won't lose anything if I just hide it. At least I'll have that one. Think about the thought process that's going on. But that was his season. He didn't take advantage of his season. Yes, he only had one talent, but he had one talent. He wasn't like maybe some other servants who the king didn't trust and didn't give him the talents. He had one talent. There was something there. We need to be the steward. We need to be a steward of the season of life that we're in. Pastor has talked to us about when his back was out last year. How miserable would that be, not be able to come to church because it's your sciatic's killing you? Not be able to stand for long periods of time, sit for long periods of time, constantly in pain. But what did he tell us? He said, I have never prayed more than I've prayed now. I said, if I'm going to be at home or on my back or having just to sit around because I can't move because of the pain, I'm going to take this season and I'm going to seek after God. What an awesome example for us, taking advantage, being a steward of that season. I've looked at volunteer management, done some research, and they say the two greatest groups, the biggest pools of volunteers for a church are those who are young adults and not married, and those who are recycled teenagers, who are older, who are maybe retired. And it was so good to see yesterday at Touch Twice, a whole row of ladies doing registration, recycled teenagers, taking that time out. It was good to see young adults like Felicia and Lolly and Spencer working their tails off, saying, you know what? I got no husband, no wife. I could take this day off and help. They're a steward of the season in their life. Fiona's in the dental hygiene program, which has been mentioned in that program, tougher than a PhD in dentistry. Just the simple getting your being a dental hygienist. So it stinks. I can tell you, I'm excited she's graduating in May. I'm pumped because she's going to be around. It's not going to be like, Phil, it's 8 o'clock on Sunday night. I got to wake up at 4, so let's get out of church. No, we can actually fellowship with some people and say hi. But no, right now the season is we got to get home. Got to get to bed. She has to get to bed early. She wakes up at 4 to pray and get everything taken care of before she leaves at 6. It's a rough season. Last semester, last year, she really, really struggled with it. Was frustrated all the time. But this year, it's been cool because she's just like, you know what? If I have to wake up, I might as well enjoy waking up early. And it's been a struggle, but it's been a change of attitude. And God, there's a reason I'm here. There's a reason I'm in this dental hygiene program. Two of them are students, our classmates, were here yesterday at Touch Twice doing dental education with her. There was the clinic at MATC has opened up largely due to Fiona being there. They were against touch twice, and Fiona's like, hey, we should do this. They're like, oh, okay, cool. But there's a reason. And in this season, she's being a good steward. I'm proud of my wife. Amen. Instead of being negative of the trial, be positive. Think, okay, God, I'm in this situation. What can I learn? Because sometimes maybe God won't move you to the next season if you're not learning what he's trying to teach you. Might be a teaching moment. Okay, God, what can I learn? Okay, God, what am I doing wrong here? You know, my finances are a mess. What am I doing wrong? And sitting back, instead of griping and complaining, be positive, be a steward. Say, this is my life. What can I do? What can I learn? How can I grow? If you're in abundance, you need to be a good steward too. If you're in a season of blessing, you need to be a good steward and not be frivolous with that blessing. Amen. We need to be a good steward because we don't know when that season will change. It will change, but we may not know when it will change. And we may just end up missing that if we're not being a good steward. David was a shepherd. Someone who watched the flocks. Youngest brother, I think. Just hang out in the fields, David. Go play a harp at the king's castle. We'll do the hard work, his brothers told him. And so then the Philistines come on the scene, and his brothers are sent to war. And I'm sure he was like, hey, what about me, dude? I can fight. And they're like, no, we need someone to take care of the sheep. What a stinky season of life. Here all these guys are out fighting, and you want to fight for your country, and they say no. And the scripture doesn't say that, but I'm pretty sure David was like, hey, I'm going too. No. And so what did he do? Didn't just mope and pout. He washed the sheep. And his dad asked, hey, take some food to your brothers. Find out how they're doing. He didn't ask him to go fight. He didn't say, okay, now's your time. No, he just said, keep being the shepherd. You're going to come back and you're going to watch the sheep again, but why don't you just go check out things, give them some food. And what happens in the course of one day? He goes there, a shepherd, comes back a mighty warrior. His season changed in an instant. In just one day, he went from a harp player to a mighty warrior whose praises were sung by the children of Israel. You don't know when your season will change in your life. You don't know it could be very well next day. And so with all of that, when it gets frustrating, when it gets, I want to move on, it's too slow, God. We have to trust. Because you never know, it might be tomorrow that you get that job, the call on the phone. It might be tomorrow that, or tonight you get your healing after years and years of being frustrated of a physical ailment. Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, scripture well known to us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord in your season. No matter how good it is, because, hey, that season might change. And God say, oh, a little pride there. Let's change that season for him and teach him a lesson. Or it might be a really bad season, and God say, all right, he's been faithful. Ooh, ooh. Mm. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able to change that season in an instant. There's a song, He's Able, that has been ministering to me in the past few days. The lyrics on one part says, God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's going to fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, because he won't give up on you. He's able. Don't give up on God. He's right there. He's right there in the midst of that season, in that situation. He hasn't and won't give up on you. You just got to trust him. All right, God, you're able. I don't understand, but it's my season of life, God, and I'm going to be a steward over it, God. Hallelujah, as musicians come. One more story, John 5. Talks about a man in Jerusalem when Jesus was on the scene. It says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, some blind. There's those who are halt and those who are withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first have after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. But there was a certain man there which had been sick for 38 years. And when Jesus came by and saw him lying there, Jesus said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered, "Sir, I have no help. I don't have a friend who's here when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. I can't get up. I'm too slow. But while I'm coming, another guy steps before me, and he's healed. It's been 38 years. But Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. If you would stand with me. You may think that, you know what, I saw so-and-so up here getting his blessing. No, I'm not good enough. My season is just, it's been on me too long. See, this guy had seen how other people's seasons were changed. Oh, you may think that I need someone else by me. You're seeing the water troubled up here, so to speak. And people are just dancing in the spirit. Man, they got it all together. That's not me. Oh, my friend. Just because their seasons change that way doesn't mean you have to change that way. Right now is you stand there, God is walking up and down these aisles. He's saying, "Won't you come? Because I am life, I am health, I am your healing. It's your time. It's your season tonight." So if you are sick in your body, I would implore you to come to this side, left side. Ministers will pray with you. You could leave healed, completely whole tonight. Maybe your season is a season of frustration, and there's situations going on in your life that you just can't overcome. You're just sick of them. Well, come on up in the front, in the middle here. Your season could change tonight. If you're in a season of sin and not living according to what the Word of God says, let me tell you, you can come and get forgiveness. You haven't gone too low. You haven't gone too far for God. It's your season to be completely forgiven. There's water behind this wall. You can be baptized in Jesus' name. Sins washed away forever. And He will save you. And you can say, "Hey, my season was changed on October 3rd, 2010. Won't you come tonight? Won't you join these who are already here tonight? If you're sick in your body, if you need a touch of the Lord, if you need salvation, won't you come tonight?"